Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Awesome. Hey guys, we're back and we are back with another community fun anchor show combined with,
thanks to you this round,
a fun topic, right? We are, I want to help shatter something because I told Mikkel about the last few weeks I've been going to, it's such a cool honor to work with, not only being a teacher and working with a lot of young creatives, and then getting to do some of these things with Adobe. And we've been going to different campuses and cities. And then there's all the folks that are like you guys and folks like us that have been in the business for years. And everyone's going through a bit of a self-esteem kind of like doubtful imposter syndrome. just craziness right now. I get it. We're each other's sounding boards when it comes to frustrating times too.
And I wonder if this timing is of trend interest actually right now, coming up on tax season and having just pulled out of the full midwinter and dipping now into spring. I wonder if there's a standard for this little feeling of vulnerable dip actually.
The vulnerable dip. There's the episode title.
And it does feel vulnerable though.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people on social media being like, is it just me or is there less work or is it harder to be the independent designer or whatever it is? And then you got students getting into they're fearful of getting into the workplace because of just the fears and the kind of the frustrations and hearing about job markets. And then you got the person that's been working 15 years doing great. And guess what? Just got laid off. And there's so much self-doubt. And there's so much kind of like, I was trying to think of a way to kind of say like when we just did this one last week, we were in Boston and we had about 300 students that were Adobe put together from all these different colleges all around Boston. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be so cool. I can't wait to see where they're at compared to like my students and everything. And so many of them, when we did a recap at the end, they were just like, oh my God, I could take a breath now. Like, I've been so scared about entering the job market, or I'm scared to reach out to a designer icon or mentor for advice and all these things. And they're like, they saw that like, we are in a great community. We're in probably the best community for sharing. And I just thought, why is everybody having this, where do these fears and these like, kind of like, low self-esteem, kind of all these little issues when it comes to, I hate the word imposter syndrome.
I noticed you used that in the beginning though. It's applicable to this subject altogether.
Yeah. Cause it's there for a good reason. I think you and I, and back maybe even long before, talked about this on an episode that, you know, that's a good sign. If you're seeing that in your own world, that means it's a push to get better or a push to elevate or do something. Right. But I wonder if just our business in general, our industry, we are creatives and we're in a commerce world, we're in a commercial world. Is that just did it start off wrong as such a terrible thing that artists are getting paid to do something that they're passionate about? Like, isn't that where it stems from? Don't you agree?
I mean, that definitely is something that, you know, we're reminded of every now and again, because you see these reels, for example, on Instagram of starting from scratch with these sketches, and then they bring it to life digitally. And of course, come sneak peeks with Adobe, they showcase that a lot.
Yeah.
And is that a part of our everyday project lives? Not necessarily.
No, you're right.
And it makes it almost feel non-realistic, shooting for the stars in a way that's not comfortable. Like, if you need to work efficiently, I can't. I oftentimes just start here.
Go right into it.
I go right into the digital world. Yeah, do you too?
A lot.
Maybe it depends on the project, though. I mean, you know, for those like for packaging and branding, not so much, because that definitely is something to start straight off vector wise too, for the most part.
Yeah,
but
I push myself to do it because
I do too.
Yeah, I don't have patience, so my instincts are to go right into
it.
I'm going to design your vector in three attempts. Like no. I slow down.
Yeah.
Obviously, but social media, I think you bring up the good point, is probably the biggest culprit.
That can hound this feeling of vulnerability and what am I doing wrong? And how come, why not me?
Yes.
And so one, why drown yourself with it? Why do that? Put the locks on that. If at all possible, get in the driver's seat so that you don't continue to feel that way. I know I go back and forth, but for times that I notice that I'm not checking in as much, it definitely, there's a shift in my, over how I see the day. In fact,
yeah, that's
now,
true.
With that, I mean, LinkedIn is technically a part of social media. Even when I am stupid busy and I see those feeds come in with all of these visual design opportunities and I read the job descriptions, it does make me feel vulnerable all over again.
And you don't even need that job.
Need it.
I know. You're like, I get those nerves again of like that feeling, you know?
But is that a testament to who we are naturally? That's who we are innately. We're constantly striving to do better. We're not going to always be content with our project.
That's true.
Process and deliverables in final form. So take that into stride alongside whether anybody in this market industry would see those job descriptions come through and feel like we do. I don't know.
Yeah. Like everything's perception too. So the same way perception in social media and maybe whatever those things are that have made the fear happen in you, perception can also be the solution, because I keep telling students, it's like, whatever you give them is what they're going to see and judge you on. So, and it's not just the work, right? It's make your work better, obviously. Make your availability or ability to actually sell yourself and do good and talk about your work better, right? Your social media presence, everything about you, your website, all that stuff should kind of reinforce that confidence too. And it's kind of like if you're going to give them a weak appearance, well, then guess what? They're going to feel a weak appearance from you. But if you give them a strong one, and like you said, put yourself in the driver's seat. Like that is your role. That is the one thing no one else is going to do for you, right? Like I really am trying to find those things to say, like, what is stopping you from being, I'm not saying go be instant confident overnight, but if you know the issues, how can you tackle them? Right.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, it's hard to not see all of these areas that we're noting easier said than done.
Yeah, it's not easy. I get it. We could see it too and say, what's stopping you? Like I said to one kid, I was like, what has made you feel like you can't express yourself as a creative and you can't reach out to someone and just say, I'd love to chat with you, whatever. And they're like, oh, I didn't think they would take the time for me. And I was like, how do you know until you try? And what's the worst thing that could happen, right? That's
Isn't
always
it interesting? We're assumptive from the get-go from our end all the same.
Right? Yeah.
And sure, due to, insecurities of sorts. However, oftentimes when you test the other end, we're wrong. Our first foremost assumption was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you can say that about just nearly anything in
life. Yeah, you're right. But again, too, like if any time I've had a moment where I went, well, I'm typically nervous at that part. Why am I not nervous now? And it's because I've checked that box off 100 times. I've done it. So if it's an uncomfortable room, go into that uncomfortable room, right? If it's an uncomfortable conversation, start that uncomfortable conversation, because you do it 3 or 4 more times. And guess what? It's no longer a uncomfortable situation any longer.
You know, what's really good to assess therefore from the very beginning then is noticing, I mean, before you take that leap and force yourself to, to take that risk, whatever it is. Well, you have to notice and observe the fact that you are having anxieties to begin with. A lot of us don't even get there in the allotted ideal amount of time in order to take advantage of a prospect scenario. So I guess just take a step back to understand where those areas are that you are feeling insignificant so that you can push yourself.
Oh yeah. The one thing I wrote was this idea of like, if you embrace something about a failure that you've had, that will lead to some greatness, like in some way.
Yeah.
So like anytime that. You've made the, you have to make the mistakes. No one can jump into a career with 18 mentors and memorize everything and say, it's going to be flawless, right? You're going to have a breakdown. You're going to have a failure. And those failures, we've talked about it 1,000 times, is why we have 20-page agreements right now with our our new clients, right?
Yeah.
Because every time you had an issue where you got burned, a new thing shows up in your in your agreement. So like, again, if you look at the failure, use it as a fuel. That is number one, I think the best thing you can do, like you said, as far as take accountability, look at the situation, assess where you're at, why. And then turn that into something great, because you have to. No one pops right into greatness, you know?
Maybe if it feels a little bit like we're speaking in generic terms, we can provide some recent, if not today, written examples of pushing the envelope a little bit. Do you have one offhand that you know happened to you? Alongside team members.
Yeah. Like where you did push it a little bit on purpose because you didn't.
Yes.
You were stuck in something.
Yeah.
Gosh, I think overall, it's the confidence of saying something that's your first assumption or your gut. And I never did that before. And I think when you realize
too much before,
right? You're like, you didn't go with it in that call. And then you're a week into it and you're like, I should have said that, because now we've lost some time.
Oh, so, damn.
Right. Yeah. So then the next time I will go with my gut.
I'll just say it.
Yeah. And I remember
read that.
I had one boss that said something really great years ago. He just don't ever start off if you're in a conversation with a group and you're trying to get your point across, don't ever start the conversation off with, I think we should. It's always, I know we should, or we should do it this way. When you throw in the think, it sounds like you're still like going, oh, I don't want to ruffle feathers. I just want to throw in my opinion, but it's going to sound very weak. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
So
I
go
never
with the gut.
Start statements like that. Mm-hmm. Although I will say something such as, would you have any reluctance if we were to take this lane?
Yeah.
That's so that they know, I feel that lane is the right one.
Yeah.
It's true.
We've all found our ways to like wordsmith it right. Because
that's true. Because I mean, approach is a little bit different, but the end intent is damn near the same. So
yeah.
But is that a little bit passive, the example that I just gave you?
It could be.
You didn't dance. Is not giving any time for dance.
The doctor doesn't say to you, Mikkel, would you prefer this medication or this treatment?
That physician analogy is
the best.
So great.
It always works.
It really totally does. That is a great reminder for this episode altogether. I love that you just mentioned the physician one.
Because that was a game changer for me. I was like,
all patients.
We don't question there. And so if we want to be more of the authority, or we want to feel stronger and more less of that imposter crap, then be the pro that you say you are.
And yeah, I love that. I love
that. Gosh, it's a good feeling.
When you're sitting on that bed for your physical and you hear an MD say, I think you're scratching your head.
Yeah, I want definite answers from you, bro. That's what we're paying you for, that crazy monthly.
Right.
Right. So
yeah, that's a really good, good reminder.
Do it yourself. But I think that whole idea, taking the failures, turning them into something good, being blunt. I think even if you totally are wrong, at least you've deposited a very good feeling to the client that, wow, Mikkel's decisive. Like that was bold. That wasn't fluff.
Not bold alone, but that I'm fairly sure of myself.
Exactly. That's the whole point. You want to be the professional, not just this like floating freelancer. Like that's a good one.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
We
always talk about that
title. So, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. The other part I was thinking too, was this idea of it. Some students, some, you know, young designers and even some senior designers that are maybe facing a change in the thing, they might not have checked off all the successes in their past. And there's certain things that I think we tend to go, well, that wasn't a success, so I'm not going to brag about it, or I'm not going to confidently talk about it. But if you could redefine it on your own terms, I think that's a really cool idea, because even if it's just something in your mind and you've chalked it up to, hey, I've had three successful things in a row right now, that next attempt, where you have to push yourself to go maybe into that uncomfortable zone, I think you're going to be a little more comfortable doing it, because you're going to be like, whoa, look at my checklist. I've done some good things. And even if it's just successes in your mind, you know, I analyze every decision, right? I think I'm sure we all do, but I don't make a decision without looking back and going like, did I do some really good things here? You know, it's like, it's not cockiness. It's like, it's just confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That can apply to instances. And this happens a lot just because we've been doing this for well over a decade, that you have this means of portfolio area that niches in a specific region, but you have not dabbled with it for 2 years plus. So can you still say that you're familiar and experienced and proficient with that area of creative support?
That's a good
point. Well, I hesitate oftentimes with this. So that's part of the reason I'm bringing this about. If it's been 5+ years since I've touched a healthcare account.
Yeah.
And I'm talking with a prospect that's in healthcare and I really, really want the gig. Do I mention that 5 years plus ago?
I would just say I'm confident in it. We've done it before. You don't have to put a year on it.
Yeah. And then, well, if it was a certain time ago, will that prospect point of contact find that, well, this industry isn't anywhere near the way it had been then.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to reinvent the wheel here for us.
That's a good point. I think at that point you try your best, and it's going to happen or not, right? Like, I think sometimes it's destined. It's already been written if you're going to get it or not. All you can do is put your best foot forward out, show the successes, and hope for the best. But like, if it doesn't, if someone isn't that confident with you, so be it. You've tried something new. You've put yourself out there, you know?
And with all these areas of feeling vulnerable, well, you don't have to mention all instances. That makes us feel psychotic. So what if you were to be transparent about some of them straight up with the team, with the C-level individual even? Like, does that make you a better match just because of the level of honesty?
Yeah, the humility, the humbleness, I love the honesty part.
I love it too. I used to have, I think I've spoken about this before. You should cut me off in case I've mentioned this before and it's been too near the time frame that I mentioned it last. I used to collaborate with a client, and their personnel, their team members, they absolutely made me feel part of their family. So I was there 3-4 days out of the week working, and on other accounts, they knew about that and they were fine with it. But every Monday morning started with a humility meeting, and they lasted an hour, and we would go around and we would have to pinpoint the area of humility and what were the specific piece of that that we're hoping to intending to improve that given business week.
That's great. That's really good.
Talk about accountability on the job. Yeah.
And it's putting it out there in the world, not just in your mind.
Right. So with that, I mean, if I need to talk it out, utilize your outlet sources,
of course,
and talk this out.
Yeah.
Jason's head is full. Like, I'm constantly, it's bitching, it's complaining. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
If you talk about it enough with those that you trust, not assuming that they're going to turn it around and they're going to make you feel on top of the mountain, but that it will be of use.
Yeah.
You can oftentimes pinpoint and explore some areas that you didn't recognize before opening your mouth.
True. That can and help. Again, then accountability. They could be like, hey, Mikkel, how's that coming along? Because you put it out there in the world. Yes. I think that's always a great stake to be like, yes, I've planted it here. Like, Tell me I am on my way, or check me if I'm not doing everything it takes to get there.
Where do you open up?
In that situation?
Yeah, those times where you may have just kicked something off and you made them feel really, really confident in you.
Yeah.
But you're not feeling it.
Ooh.
For example.
Yeah.
Who do you?
I usually go to, I have like that half, it's half and half that are people that are, I can go to that aren't in our industry and say like, does this make sense? Because I want someone that doesn't have a creative background.
That heart can be
right.
Useful.
And then I can go to creative friends when I need to have their perspective be a little bit more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think it's just like, even in just general, I've tried not to be the complainer, because I think that was the role I played a lot in my first few years of in my trying to, I always wanted to get like the promotions and all these other things. I was so caught into that thing because it was like all the accolades, like, you know, those are those things that you look up and go like, oh, there they are. I want those. Like, that's how I was. So I found like I was complaining a lot. And I remember I had someone told me, I don't know if you know this, but you come off a little bit with that and you don't bring the solution. And I was like, God, did I need to hear that?
That's amazing.
Right?
Talk about transparency from a good source.
Oh, yeah. And this was a person that was a deciding factor in would I make a move up in that company or not.
Oh, nice.
So not only did I was thankful that they gave it to me, but so now I try not to.
Yeah.
And then and someone gave me that tip, like, listen to the people around you and balance what you get from them and what you give to them as well. So like, if there are people that are always complaining or whatever, I think that's a great way to say to someone, hey, have you considered put the power into a solution, not just the complaining over and over again? Because I live that and I know it didn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that perspective helps a lot. And then I figure before verbally complaining about something, can I come up with the solution on my own? And a lot of times I will just look to what maybe I did wrong in that situation before looking at what someone else did, particularly the client and me relationship, you know? So, but
that's excellent.
The one thing I thought was interesting too, is if success is being based off of those accolades, you know, that this, the things that like, maybe it's like your work was chosen for something, or it was, you know, a blog, or maybe I know a lot of designers that go after they enter their stuff in for awards and all these other things.
Oh,
and I think those are great because they are things you can put on your LinkedIn and your resume and your portfolio.
Sure.
And I've used a few in the past, but I wonder too, like, if you shift your perception of what is an external accolade for you, is that truly what's measuring you? Or is it, can you find success somewhere else? Cause I know a lot of people that might go like, well, I don't have those things, but you do have successes somewhere. to say, I'm doing a good job. I'm landing clients. I'm doing these things. And I think sometimes you can, maybe we push those real core ones off because it's not a physical accolade that we're all striving for.
Right.
You know, and I hate to see people think that those are the only attainable goals ahead of this industry.
Yeah, I don't. Man, I'm running out of time, but I, you know, to shoot for those areas, but I understand. And the social media is what pours those on. Those,
it always goes back to
feelings
that.
On. It always goes back to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, good awareness about those sources that are making you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Push pause or turn them off and see how you do.
Totally right. Yeah. And again, you'll never know until you try. So if you try one of these things to kind of get to the next level or whatever it might be, I think the other thing is like being the, like, where do you think if someone's having the issue of like, I'm just not, Nick, I'm hearing you, Mikkel, I'm hearing you, but like my confidence level at this point is just at an all time low. And I'm not quite sure I've had even people tell me like, I don't know if I'm really cut out for this industry any longer. Like we all get to that point. None of us have figured this out. We've told that, but what would you say to someone that's like, that it came to you with that in our industry? What kind of advice would you give to say like, you know, like, wait, pump the brakes. What would you say?
Well, that we all go through those, mm-hmm. those times. So don't necessarily see this one as this is where my ship's sinking. It's done.
Yeah.
I need to jump
mm-hmm.
and start networking elsewhere. Worth stepping away and sleeping on stuff, not only overnight, but maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what happens when we step away, when we're so in the grind. I mean, when I have to step away, for example, and this is a mini example of what I'm trying to share here, and get ready for a meeting, for a presentation, and shower or go to the store and grab something real quick and come back. It's amazing what will come to me when I step away from this machine.
Oh, God, yeah. Every idea.
But you don't know that ahead of time. You don't think to yourself, oh, it'll come to me when I...
Yeah.
When I go pick up my son or when I step into the shower.
You can't
plan on it. No, you cannot project mm-hmm. it. But
it's being bored.
For those larger instances where you're having that, I don't think I'm in the right arena altogether, I would advise to step away in a larger manner.
Yeah.
So that not only you can have an aha or two, but appreciate some areas that you've left temporarily. Now, if the heart isn't in it anymore, like there's so many different ways of, so many different fashions of a temporary give up, right? So
oh, yeah.
When I've had my moments, the first and the more recent one are not any the same.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah.
So if there's just one client or one prospect that's making you feel that way, that's a little bit silly. Like, come on, don't let that one example throw you.
Oh,
if there's a pattern.
Yeah.
Worth assessing.
Good point.
There's a pattern and it's ongoing and you've given it 6 months, you know?
Maybe you're in the right zone feeling a little bit.
Maybe
it isn't right. Yeah.
There was a time that so I always have this philosophy of doors open. You never know what life can bring you. And I didn't, this is what I studied in graduate school. Like mm-hmm. When I talk with people about where I came from an education, what I'm doing now, they're like, oh shit, you don't ever really hear about that.
Yeah.
So that's very fortunate. But if somebody comes to me with an opportunity that's not doing what I'm doing every day right now, would I consider it? Yeah, I think I would. I think I would. I've taken full-time interviews. I've taken phone calls with some businesses that are more consultative, like sales oriented, where I'm not designing to the extent that I am today and collaborating. Because why not?
Never say never.
You never know.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's a way to stay in this market while shifting a little bit laterally in that sense, you could, why not explore that? Life's too short. That might be useful.
Isn't that a win, though, that opportunity came your way? Like, I think that's the other thing sometimes is looking at something as, oh, gosh, that's a wrench in my system right now. Change your perception of that and be like, that is an opportunity that came to me because something I've done. So it's a win. Like, it's one of those, again, it's one of those things to like check off a little bit and kind of say like, wow, that's pretty awesome that happened, you know? I think that confidence level, if you're feeling it and it's kind of like it feels like it's in a drought or something. I get it. Look, we're all in a weird spot because of just typically with the job markets and let's say the economy or whatever else, right? But I think the thing to consider is one more, you're in a great industry. You have a lot of good wins that you can start listing down. I always say like write them down. What in the past has worked great? And it's very easy to think of all the negatives when you're frustrated. It's very hard to think of all the positives, right? And all the wins. So like, I always like to say, like, write them down, have them in front of you. Just even an hour before we went on, I got an email that I read on the phone. And I think we've talked about this a lot of times too. Like when you read it on the phone, it just seems a little bit more, I saw paragraphs and I was like, yikes. When I got, and I was ready to just blow a gasket, right? So then I went on and saw it on my
computer.
And it
wasn't so lengthy.
It wasn't as bad. And it wasn't, the first few words got me into
that happens all the
tizzy.
Time to me too.
Yeah. And I was like, how am I reacting to this so normally now? When just a few years ago, that would have ruined my whole weekend if it was a bad, you know, thing. And then I realized, I'm like, it's just trial and error. It's going through these things a few times. In going like, maybe I overreacted. So you get a little easier with each one. But I guess the hardest part about this conversation is experience is what is going to cap all of these issues that even a young, particularly younger designer is going through. And I think a lot of times they have to go through it to get past there and feel more comfortable. But I get to see kids for 10 years now. I've seen them I get them at the same age. And it's just this, you know, kind of flow of them coming in and out of our 3 years that we see them, or 2 years. And I am seeing a bit of a, you know, it is going lower and lower on that confidence level. Mm. So that's why I was like, what else can we do and say to help shatter that?
Related to that, you pinpointed before we started recording here that these individuals are not young, straight out of school. These individuals well experienced.
Yeah.
40s, 50s. I mean, shit. I collaborate with storytellers that are well into their 60s, and I'm always surprised when we like swap ages because I would never have known that.
Right.
Because what they're providing is trending, it's fresh, it's modern, and that's very important. Yeah. So another thing not to get down about.
And they might have been maybe had their head down to the industry because for a good long period of time, they were working really solid. And the few folks I've talked to, they were hit by surprise by either a layoff or maybe their hours got cut all of a sudden. And it's like, wait, what are you talking about? I've been at this place for a long time. And all of a sudden now they are looking up and they're seeing the industry and they're seeing AI and they're seeing technology and they're seeing all these apps and everything. And I think the best thing, my advice would be, is to dive into all this stuff. If you do have the extra time, let's just say, unfortunately, that's a gift. Get into this stuff.
Seek it as an opportunity.
Right? Get curious with this because that will be your way out, I think, in a lot of ways too. And it's just so sad that that's having to happen in the first place. I get it. You know, those untimely things happen to us all where it's kind of like everything's going great, whatever. And then all of a sudden, something comes in and it's beyond your control. And unfortunately it's like, how do you pivot now? So like, that's why I'm thinking this one thing I found that I thought was great was this idea about empowering bold action. And it said something like taking ownership of what you want to do and refuse to play small. Isn't that like the best line ever? Like, why play small? Like, play big. Play bigger in your content. Play bigger in your website. Have a bigger headline, right? Have a bigger communication of what you do and what your benefits are. When I saw that, like, don't play small, I was like, maybe that's the answer in a lot of ways, to just go, why not?
Well, like, right.
Why not?
Right.
I just love that idea. It said, be discomfort, take bold risks, and pursue your passion with a lot of determination.
That's along the whole lines of that leap of faith stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And totally. Which
is so admirable when you hear about those stories, by the way. So yeah. Why? It's so much easier.
What's standing? I guess what's standing in your way? Like,
yeah, I was just going to say, why not? just simply put.
Yeah.
But in the moment when you are revisiting yes and then no and then yes and then no, there's a lot of reasons why not that you dapple with. So I guess that's not totally fair all the time.
And I think your advice about stepping away for a second is the best thing to do before you make a bold move.
Because yeah, it's kind I wanted of like... to turn that question around to you, Nick, because mm-hmm. that was a good one.
Yeah.
And you get this more in your everyday life than I do with your student relationships. Yeah. What do you say when people come to you and say something as definitive as, I don't think this is the industry for me anymore?
Hopefully I know them enough to agree or disagree right on the spot.
That's a big one, but let's say they
say
are.
I don't know.
They are good.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They are good.
But they don't see it.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. I'll go back a little bit. I think I'll typically get a student or two that will say that. And I'll say, like, look how far you have come. In most cases, particularly with our school, a lot of our student body, they're the first students in their entire family to not only graduate, to even just go to college. So a lot of times I'll be like, look at what you've done already. You're already a game changer. You know, I'll just try to pump them up with those things and say, like, you're already there. Like, honestly. And then if they're really good, I'll pull them aside and I'll give them that. Like, do you know how fucking good you are? Like,
yeah.
And I don't say that to everybody, but you know, when they need to hear that, I and maybe we all need to hear that every once in a while. I love being a cheerleader. I love being that person that, you know, and again, if there's a college in your town, or, you know, you feel that you want to do something like that, be a guest speaker. Talk to these kids. If you got it down and you're feeling confident, spread that thing to a young designer. It is so incredibly rewarding and when you see that little light bulb go over their head and they're just like, that's all I needed to hear. Cause like, if I give them that test and it's good, great. If they're still not feeling it, then I'm like, then maybe this isn't, you know, maybe your passion lies in something else. And in most cases, it's right there sitting there going like, hey, you know, I had one kid that he wanted to be a barber, and
really?
He's like, yeah. So now he uses it for his barber business, cause he's an incredible designer too.
And
then I've got one student that's going to, that's finding this balance between creative and he wants to be a tattoo artist. So it's kind of like this, they go hand in hand in some ways.
That's
you know?
Amazing. That's amazing.
So you got to give them that. I think it's just when someone can tell them that, and look, a parent could tell them that, but I think a lot of times it doesn't, the parent, they're like, oh, mom, dad, you're supposed to say that. Right. But if it comes from someone outside of the family and someone that has a credibility in there, I think that's a huge moment. You know, I'm sure you felt the same way if you've ever met any young designer that's just in some way, shape, or form a little bit uncertain. Like, be like, are you kidding me? Like, look at your work. This is amazing. Keep going.
Isn't that interesting? It reminds me of, I mean, these other areas where it's just so, or you know, in your past with any like sport where you just felt like you weren't.
Always. Yep. Practice makes
perfect.
That's
in line. That's in line with what we're talking about. And
we're
witnessing it right now with Oakley and performance and, you know, the tears when he could have done as good as his peers and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking, but a part of life and a way to see that in terms of the opportunity, that light bulb that can go off with, well, then here's what I know I need to do. Here's the areas that I know I can
work hard at, best lessons.
Practice further. Yeah.
Oh, so just having that brings you back to those moments where you're like, you're to go through something like that at that age for kids, particularly sports and everything, are I think the building blocks for so many different things that you're going to use later down the road.
And who's not curious about the way that others perceive you, especially in your career?
Yeah.
In the money-making career. So, I mean, there's no way to really truly know. You can trust those that share with you, but there's no way to really truly know. You just, that's where the inner confidence comes in so importantly.
Do you feel, we can end with this because that's a great point. When you try to calculate those things about your reputation, who you are, what it's like to work with you, who, you know, what you bring to the table and all those things, I don't think any of us have the true answer because it's, you know, everyone's opinion is different. But one thing you can do is think back 5-10 years, anytime you got one of those, someone did express what they get out of working with you or a nice compliment of you always do this, Mikkel, whatever. I think those add up.
Not to be provided with something in return because then it seems not as genuine.
Oh, always. Yeah.
But can't you say this about returning clients through and through?
Yeah.
They wouldn't return.
Of course. Of course. And would they refer you? That's
for your longstanding accounts, they wouldn't be longstanding.
Yeah. And when you get
that's blatant.
And think about it, the referrals that they might give you, that's even a double win, right? One, they're still working with you. Two, they're inviting someone new to the table and being like, I trust you.
Yes.
Go.
Yes. That's huge.
So again, going back to this idea of like defining what your successes were in the past, those might be right in front of you and you've never considered them.
Yeah. You need to look at that.
Exactly.
It's time to look at that.
Yeah.
To realize how obvious those factors truly are.
Yeah. So it's just about finding those. Oh, I think we just had a little earthquake.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, it's like every other day now, it seems like. The whole house just goes like, dun, dun.
Oh, that would freak me out.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, hey, Earth, get it out of here.
There's been drilling in the background here. I hope that hasn't been disturbing.
No, haven't heard it. Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing.
I'm always like, hey, if the Earth can kind of like let it steam off every few days, great. Like, I don't want a big one again.
They say that there's something to that.
Yes. Because I don't want another big one ever again.
Without being an archaeologist, that kind of makes sense.
The joys of living in Southern California. That's the one thing I will always have fear of is that. But like the other stuff here, like honestly, like find those ways to debunk these things, get rid of the self-doubt. It's like, honestly, you're listening to a podcast, for God's sake, to figure out things. Like, I mean, we all do. These are daily check-ins that I love because I think if you're doing anything in this zone, just give yourself a pat on the back that you're trying to do better.
Yeah, right. Totally. That's
right?
Large picture, really good to point out.
Exactly. So I think this could be a fun one to like turn into like a Q&A. If you are listening to this one and you're on the Spotify account, we do have a Q&A section on there that I'll probably pop in a few questions there. And we can expand this. And I'd love to bring even like, you know, some of our extended family folks into this conversation too to help debunk this.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It's hard to do it in 45 minutes, but, you know, I think it was.
Oh, I know.
It was on our minds and we just wanted to make sure.
It's a really good one. And there might be a leg segment from this overall subject matter that's worth discussing and designating to an episode later on.
Exactly. So I hope this was helpful, guys. Again, share this with anybody that you think might need to hear it. We'll start the conversation.
We all go through it.
Right?
We're only human.
All right, y'all. Take care. Bye.